Thank you, Barbara Crocker. You take your Bible and turn to John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, a very familiar text. Now tonight I want to talk about heaven. What a place. I don't know about you, I like the subject of heaven. I've written three messages. Next Wednesday night we'll study the second one, and then the last Wednesday night in November we'll look at the third one. The other thing I want to say to you, just a caution before we start, I must have 100 to 120 scripture references in this message. So don't drown in that. Don't even try to write all of them down. You can go on the podcast or whatever you want to if you want to study a little more and get all that down, and you can slow my voice down a little bit. But I sort of wanted to share proof text with you about heaven, the place. There are a lot of people that have some very unbiblical, unscriptural ideas of what heaven is all about. Very familiar passage of scripture in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that... listen to me carefully. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. A man by the name of George Sweeting was the Chancellor Emeritus of Moody University. Many of you have heard of Moody. He's a great Bible scholar. He went to comfort a friend. Dr. Sweeting went to comfort a friend whose wife, these were fine Christians, whose wife had terminal cancer. So while he was talking to his friend about his friend's wife and about her upcoming death, the man looked back at Dr. Sweeting and said, "Let me ask you a question." He said, "First of all, I want you to know that my wife and I are at peace with the fact that she's going home to be with the Lord real soon." So he said, "Dr. Sweeting, let me ask you a question. If your wife was going to Hawaii, would you be excited?" He said, "Well, yes." And so this man, whose wife had terminal cancer, looked at Dr. Sweeting and said, "Well, would you be excited if your wife was going to a place that was a million times more beautiful than Hawaii?" And he said, "That changed my perspective." We pray hard, and we should pray for healing for people, but we pray harder for people to stay out of heaven than we rejoice when they go to heaven. We hear about somebody's terminal, which we all will be unless Jesus comes, the rapture, and takes us up to be with him. All of us are going to taste of death. And so he said that changed his perspective. J.I. Packer, another great Bible scholar, said this: "Dying well is one of the good works to which Christians are called, and he will enable us to serve him and to die well." You know, when we're young, we're full of life, and we think we're going to live forever in this form right here on this earth. If you talk to a group of middle schoolers, I doubt the main subject is going to be heaven. Heaven becomes more real, I think, and more meaningful the older we get. And the reason for that is more of our loved ones in Christ, our family members and friends are there, and we long to see them. Well, through these three messages, we're going to answer some questions about heaven. Where is it? Is it a real place? Who's there? Can it be scientifically located? How old shall we be in heaven? Will we be crippled or wrinkled in our future life? What are we going to do in heaven? Do our loved ones still see and hear us? Will we have any regrets in heaven? One of our goals in life should be to discover more about heaven from the Word of God. We find about 500 references in the Bible to heaven. In the book of Revelation alone, there are 50 references to heaven. I like what the old evangelist Billy Sunday said about heaven. He said, if we could get a real appreciation of what heaven is, we'd be so homesick for heaven, the devil wouldn't have a friend left on earth. So we begin our study, first of all, the existence of heaven there. In verse 2 of chapter 14 of John, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Ladies and gentlemen, heaven is not a state of mind. It is not a dream. It's not speculation. Heaven is a real, literal, factual place. It's not age-dated, but created by God at the beginning of time. Genesis 1:1, here's what we read. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's in the very first verse of our Bible. The late Donald Gray Barnhouse was another outstanding Bible scholar. Here's what he said. Without question, we write heaven with a capital letter, like we would any other major city of the world. If heaven is not a physical, material place, then the resurrection body of Christ does not exist, and other Christian doctrines fall down. Now, the Bible describes three heavens for us. First of all, there's the atmospheric heaven. That is the heaven that's immediately above us, and you find that described in Genesis 1:20 and Job 12:7. That's where the birds fly. That's the atmospheric heaven. And then there's the planetary heavens. That's the heavens where the sun, moon, and stars live. You'll find that beginning in Genesis 15:5 and 22:17 and Deuteronomy 1:10 and 19. Then you got the third heaven. That's the dwelling place of God. Deuteronomy 4:39, Matthew 5:34, Hebrews 9:24. Somebody said, we see the first heaven, the atmospheric heaven, by day. We see the stellar heavens, the planetary heavens, by night. And we see the third heaven by faith. Now, when I'm speaking of heaven, I'm talking about the heaven of heavens, where God is on his throne, Jesus at the right hand interceding on our behalf. That's where the angels are. That's where the saints of all the ages dwell in the presence of God. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:4 said he was caught up into paradise. That's where he identifies the third heaven. 2 Corinthians 12:2, Christ dwells there is made clear from these words, for Christ has entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's Hebrews 9:24. Then Peter said this in 1 Peter 3:22. He said this of Christ, who is gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Now the question is, where is heaven located? Well, I can only say it's somewhere in the spacious, infinite arena above us. Now what is that based on? You can write these down if you want to. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, you remember John, he is just introduced to heaven. He's given a vision there. And he talks about coming up into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, as Jesus ascended into heaven, we find there in the Word of God that he is taken up from you into heaven. From those Bible verses, we know that heaven is in the upper direction and heaven is not on the surface of the earth. It's above and outside of this earth, away in space. Let's sort of do an x-ray, an examination of heaven. Revelation 1:17 and John 14:2, I go to prepare a place for you. The late, Hal Lindsey in his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, said, if you can think of the most beautiful place you've ever been, then amplify its beauty beyond your comprehension and imagine what it'd be like without death, without disease, without a curse upon it, and you'll have an inkling of heaven. We look in scriptures, very few men were given a glimpse of heaven before they died. We find here that John declared in Revelation 1:17, he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. Paul said when he was caught up into heaven, 2 Corinthians 12:4, he said, he heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. In other words, Paul was unable with speech to adequately describe what he had seen. Abraham thought of heaven as a city. In Hebrews 11, verse 10, for he looked for a city which has foundations whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11, 16, God has prepared for them a city. So that city in itself is not heaven, but it's being prepared in heaven for the redeemed of God out of every nation, out of the world. The city called the New Jerusalem with the pearly gates, the golden streets, the precious stones, the jasper walls will one day actually descend from heaven. That's talking about the second heaven to this new earth. John wrote this in Revelation 21 and 2. He said, and I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I like what Matthew did. He described heaven as a kingdom. In Matthew 25:34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We go back here to our John passage tonight. And Jesus, in chapter 14, verse 2, he describes heaven as a house. In fact, he calls it the Father's house. And you and I, if we talk about our Father's house, we're talking about our home. He says, and Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:1, and Paul thought of heaven as a building. He declared in 2 Corinthians 5:1, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The author of Hebrews wrote this in Hebrews 11:14-16. They seek a country, but now they desire a better country. Listen to all these descriptions. Heaven's a city. We see heaven is a kingdom. We see all heaven is a building. John in the book of Revelation said, in heaven, there'll be no more sickness, suffering, sin, sorrow, tears, troubles, no more births, no more burials, but a place with Christ as its kings, angels for the defense, the redeemed as citizens who will stand in the presence of God to worship, praise, and adore him day and night. There's not much about heaven that we just do not understand. There's so much about heaven that we don't understand, as indicated by Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:9. He said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. But one thing I'm certain, it's going to be perfect deliverance from sin, and we're going to be living in the presence, the physical presence of our Savior for eternity. You know, we think about heaven, there'll be certain physical things there. You go to Revelation 4:4-8, God is on his throne. I was preaching Sunday morning about five unshakable things the saints ought to know about. One thing is the throne of God, totally unshakable, cannot be overthrown. The other thing I want you to know is there, think about the throne. There's going to be a rainbow around the throne. You know, I always thought that the rainbow meant that God would not send another flood. And now we have a group in our society who are living immoral, ungodly lifestyles, and now they let the rainbow stand for their lifestyle. ladies and gentlemen, they can go ahead living that lie if they want to. It'll lead straight to the pits of hell. Notice what else about the throne. It says a rainbow around the throne. And then around the throne, there are 24 thrones. And on the thrones are 24 elders upon the throne. There's thunder and lightning around the throne. And from the throne says there's a sea of glass. Before the throne, four living creatures around the throne. There's worship towards the throne. There's a river flowing from the throne. And there's a tree on the side of the river there before the throne. There's going to be some personal things in heaven. Our Heavenly Father is there, Matthew 6:9. Our Savior's there, Hebrews 9:24. Our loved ones in Christ who preceded us there, 2 Corinthians 5:8, Hebrews 12:22-23. Our inheritance is there. We find that in 2 Corinthians 5:8. And in 1 Peter 1:3-4. Our rewards are there, Matthew 5:11-12. Our treasures are there, Matthew 6:19-21. Our citizenship is there, Philippians 3:20. Our names are recorded in Luke 10:20. And we read about the book of life in Revelation 20:15. If you're saved, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Let's talk about the exciting prospect of recognition. You know, some people say, are we going to know each other in heaven? How many of you ever been to your high school class reunion? Raise your hand. You ever been to one of those? We've just been to one, and I've been banned for life to ever go to another one. But if we ever make it to the 50th, I'm going. I'm going to go. Because, you know, we go to class reunions, and we look around, and we say, wow, I didn't even recognize him or her. They've gotten so old. They're beyond recognition. Well, you know, you've changed hair colors about 100 times since then and maybe had a little work done. I don't know. But it sure is nice to look around and just see how other people are just wasting away. Well, 1 Corinthians 13:12. We find there that Paul says we're going to know each other even as we are known. We're going to recognize that mom and dad who went home to be with the Lord before us in Christ, brothers, sisters, whatever, friends. And there's evidence of this in Genesis 25:8. Abraham knew his people after death. In Matthew 8:11, we shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I don't think they're going to need a name tag either. In Matthew 17:3-4, the disciples recognize Moses and Elijah in the transfiguration. In Luke 16:23-24, the rich man saw Lazarus, the poor beggar, in the other world. John 20:28, Thomas recognized Christ in his resurrected body, and he said, my Lord and my God. In Luke 24:31, two disciples walked on the road to Emmaus and talked to the risen Christ. And we read of them, and their eyes were open and they recognized him. John 20:16, Mary Magdalene recognized the voice of the risen Christ even though it was too dark to see him. Go recognize voice. Several years ago, I was asked to go back across the state to do the funeral for my mom's youngest brother. That was our Uncle Billy. He was our favorite one on Mama's side of the family. He owned about 2,500 acres. They had ponds where you could fish, tractors to ride, cows to go see. You know, that was our Six Flags back in the day. But he lived about 5 miles from my previous church. Well, I had been gone from Warrenton, Georgia about 16 years. I went back, you know, I was over there 13 years. I've been gone from there about 16 years. And so my aunt asked if I'd come down and preach the funeral, memorial service for my uncle. And so that is a little Methodist church out on a crossroads near the Glasscock County and Warren County lines. Well, when I got there that day, the little church was full. And so, you know, I walked down the aisle with her pastor ahead of the casket and all that, and I preached Uncle Billy's funeral. And when I went out to the graveside, we finished up that, and then all of a sudden, now notice I haven't seen these people in about 16 years from First Baptist Church, where I used to pastor for 13 years. They were all there at the funeral. And one lady walked up to me and she said, "What in the world happened to you?" She said, "Your hair used to be so black and so thick." I said, "You don't even want to know what's happened to me." I said, "I've been a little busy since I left here." And here's what they said. There was a group of my former church members, and they said, "We were so disappointed in the worship center when we saw the two pastors preceding the body to go on the platform, and we thought, we're so disappointed. We thought Phil was coming back to preach this funeral." And they said, "When you stood up, said, we didn't know who you were, but when we heard your voice, we knew it was you." Isn't that what it says about these ladies? They said they even recognized Jesus' voice in the dark. You'll know the voice of your friends and your family who preceded you in heaven. And if that's true, we'll also recognize and know Abraham, Moses, Elijah, Lazarus, and then we'll know and recognize those who preceded us in Christ. Now, our concern oftentimes is we think about what is our glorified body going to be like in heaven. You know, some people think heaven is a place where a bunch of disembodied spirits are floating around. And by the way, please, 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 remember that when we are absent from the body and present with the Lord, we do not become angels. Angels are separate, created beings of God that we find here in the Word of God. You know, somebody, you know, I go to see somebody and say, "Well, Mama died. Heaven's got another angel." No, he doesn't. But I can't say that to them because they're delusionary, you know. Y'all remember when we used to go to the funeral home and they used to have a flower arrangement with a rotary dial telephone? Y'all remember that? And it would have a sign below the flowers and telephone that says that Jesus called. Y'all remember seeing those? Some of you are not old enough to remember that. I guess Jesus is he communicates in an iPad on Facebook. "Jesus Facebooked me home today." I don't know. People got some crazy ideas that are just not Bible based. What's our body going to be like in heaven? So, at Christ's coming, our earthly body will be clothed with a new glorified body, fashioned in power and beauty like the resurrected body of Christ. Now, David, the psalmist, in Psalm 17:15 said, "I shall be satisfied when I awake." He's talking about absent from the body, present with the Lord, not a soul asleep, "with my likeness." He's talking about the likeness of Christ. Paul said in Romans 6:5, "We shall also in the likeness, shall be in the likeness of his resurrection," in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, the new resurrection bodies will be in many ways identical to our present physical bodies. It's going to be a real body. Similar characteristics of flesh, bones, blood. It'll be, you know, made out of some of the same material, but the resurrected glory body is going to be a little bit different. The resurrection body, similar to our present material body, the actual substance will be different because there will be some great changes. It'll be clothed in new flesh, which will not be subject to disease, decay, death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42, the new body will be incorruptible. Verse 43, it'll be glorious. Verse 43, our new bodies will be powerful. Also spiritual, verse 44, they will be heavenly, verse 48. Like the body of Christ, verse 49, immortal, verse 53. And then Paul writes in Philippians 3:21, who shall change our lowly body that it may be fashioned like his glorious body? I like all that. Ladies, no more applying that aging cream anymore. Listen, people say, well, I don't believe we're going to eat in heaven. I believe we are. Now, I don't know if there's going to be a Cracker Barrel on every corner, but I think the food will be good. Why do I say that? Because Christ in his glorified body, what did he do? He ate bread and fish with his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. I think we'll drink water and eat fruit in the eternal future as God's trees in heaven. You know what I think? God's trees in heaven will bring forth fruit all the time. The other thing, Christ spoke of his resurrection body as being similar to the physical body in Luke 24:39. Behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see that I have. Not only that, but on one occasion, Christ moved into the midst of the disciples. I love this. He went through the walls and the doors. Have you ever tried to do that? I remember I was at my high school graduation party, and it was at my girlfriend's house, and they had this big house. Y'all remember the sunken den? Well, they had a sunken den and had these big sliding glass doors that went straight out to the pool. And I don't remember what I was doing, but I was in a hurry. I went down the steps to the sunken den, and undoubtedly the maid had been that day, the housekeeper, because it was at night, and I went running through there, and I thought the sliding glass doors were open. Boom! I think that's the first time I broke my nose right there. But you know what? We're going to be able to do just like Jesus. He moved his disciples, went through walls, windows, doors. And since his new glorified body was prepared for a heavenly sanctuary, the bodily movements of Christ were no longer hindered by material objects or obstacles. He's not subject to the laws of nature. Now, let's look at the evidence of the sounds of heaven. I got to hurry up here. In Revelation 8:1, old Jess Henley was a great preacher. And he wrote a sermon several years ago, and here's the title of it. Heaven is a noisy place. Revelation 8:1 says that heaven grew quiet. We learn, therefore, that heaven is a noisy place, because if it grew quiet, you had to have noise first to get quiet later on. And we learn that heaven's a noisy place, and I don't mean that in a bad sense, but in a good sense, it's a place of sounds. It's a place of joy. It's a place where God's presence is there. Heaven's a place of happiness, and happiness overflows. The Bible says that every time one person gets saved, the angels of heaven do what? They have a party. So we ought to get excited too. Revelation 1:10, John was in exile on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Well, you know what that great voice was? That's the voice of Jesus Christ. He said it was loud and clear. Verse 15, that voice is like the sound of many waters. Revelation says Jesus' voice was loud like the sound of many waters, saying to John, what you see, you write in a book and send it to the churches. And today you and I have this tremendous book of Revelation. Revelation 4:1, Christ speaking to John with a trumpet-like voice, telling him to come up to heaven and write down the things that you see, that we might know about heaven on the authority of Jesus Christ himself. Revelation 5:11, chapter 5, read about the voice of millions of angels around the throne. They're voicing their adoration of Christ the Lamb. We see here, you ever been in a crowd of people? You go to a stadium, to a football game, and all these people are talking. It just turns into it just turns into a buzz. Well, it says here that there's voices around the throne. The living creatures, the elders, the angels. It says they're not just sitting there silent. They're busy, engaged in worship. Paul said that he was caught up into heaven and heard words unlawful to be uttered. He said, I heard words. People talk in heaven. Jim Price is going to be a happy man in heaven. There's going to be joy. There's going to be fellowship. There's going to be blessing beyond anything we can imagine. Heaven is a place of sounds. We're going to be engaged in certain activities. Let me just list some of these. Going to be praise and rejoicing, Revelation 19, 5 through 7. Singing, making music, Revelation 14, 1 through 3. Glorifying Him, Revelation 1, 6. Reigning, Revelation 22, 5. Judging, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3. It says the saints will judge the world and the angels will be serving, Revelation 7, 15. Before the throne, they will serve God day and night, and then we'll be worshiping, Revelation 14, 6 and 7. The focal point of heaven is going to be Christ. Imagine living the prime years of your life in a wheelchair. And I'm sure most of you have read or at least heard Johnny Erickson Tata. You remember she was quite an athletic young lady, and she was paralyzed from a diving accident. And she just had to live that way the rest of her life. And somebody talked to her about what it's been like to live this way. And she said, what I've had to do, says I've tried to make the best of my life here, but she says, I'm eagerly anticipating heaven. And I want to just read to you what she says. She says that when she talks about heaven, she said, yes, it's going to be nice to stand and stretch, but she said, my great interest lies in something else. She said, the freedom to walk and run pales in comparison to the opportunity of offering praise that is pure. Of heaven, she wrote, I won't be crippled by distractions or disabled by insincerity. I won't be handicapped by ho-hum half-heartedness. My heart will join with yours and bubble over with effervescent adoration. We will finally be able to fellowship fully with the Father and the Son. For me, this will be the best part of heaven. What a faith. What an attitude for somebody who's confined to a wheelchair. Now notice the exclusive way to heaven is John 14, 5 and 6. John 14, 5 and 6, very simple. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Somebody made a comment today about my idea about Scripture that I needed to get more culturally relevant. I said to this person, I don't let the culture shape me. I let Scripture shape my culture. And my Scripture says there's not but one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have seen Steve Ducey on Fox News Channel. He's their weatherman. You know, I don't believe I'd want to study to be a weatherman. I turn on television and there's a hurricane and a tsunami due in 12 hours. And there's a weatherman or a weather girl standing out at the ocean side, and everybody else with a brain has evacuated. And they're standing there blowing down, and all of we just wanted to give you the on-the-scene report. And I'm thinking, you made your direct supervisor mad. And they don't care if you get killed and washed away and never seen again. You know, a few weeks ago, they thought we were going to have some bad weather. My sister sent me a text from Augusta. She said, there's somebody from the Weather Channel reporting live on Broad Street in Rome, Georgia. So we turned over to the Weather Channel. There they are. We had 15-mile-an-hour winds. I mean, she was so disappointed she didn't get blown away. But old Steve Ducey is a weatherman there at Fox. And he related a story about a businessman who was working on one of the higher floors of the World Trade Center on 9/11. He said this particular businessman was working on his emails that morning, and all of a sudden he heard an explosion and the whole building rocked. And so this businessman, he had no idea that a hijacked jetliner had just crashed into that building. But here's what he did. He quickly typed this note: "Son, our building has been hit. See you in heaven. Love, Dad." And he hit send. A few minutes later, his son was checking his emails, and he found a notice from his dad. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all my heart, mind, and soul, heaven is real. Are you ready to go? Let's pray together.